Hey, friends, thanks for joining me today. I am continuing the conversation about the state of the product industry survey that we did here in 2025. Now, in episode 393, I summarized what we learned when 400 product-based business owners shared intimate details about their income, profit, how much they pay themselves, their product line, their team, their sales and marketing strategies, all of the above. We talked about all of it. So if you have not listened to that one yet, I would push pause and start there. So this one is episode 393. That one is episode 392. Start with 392. Also, I want you to go download the State of the Product Industry report. You can read that at proof2product.com/2025survey. So again, that's proof2product.com/2025survey. It'll be helpful to have that handy as you listen. Today, though, on episode 393, I am diving into 10 opportunities that I see for all of you after having spent dozens and dozens of hours crunching the data here. But before we jump in, I want to remind you that now is an excellent time to join us in the Labs community. Labs is our community focused on supporting product-based business owners and helping you build strong foundations. And we bring in all kinds of cool guest experts to share about their business journey. On May 14th, Emily Lay of Simplified, who was recently on episode 390 of the podcast, she's going to join us for a coffee chat. And that's where our community members will have a chance to ask her questions about growing and scaling her business. She's going to share what's worked, what hasn't worked, and basically offer support and advice for our members as they're growing their business. To attend this program and all of our other live events, head to proof2product.com/labs to enroll. That's proof2product.com/labs. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Okay, to wrap up this report, I did put together like 10 observations and opportunities that I think all of you should be aware of and paying attention to as we enter this next season of business. So the first one is that crossing $100,000 in gross revenue is kind of a key milestone. 58% of businesses are still under that $100,000 a year mark, but growth accelerates after that. So we saw from the reporting and we saw from the data that businesses that were over $100,000 a year in revenue, they really accelerated. Now, clearly, there's no easy button in hitting six figures in business. The money comes when your foundations are strong, and that often correlates with increased profitability, making sure your products are priced right, creating really strong operational systems, including team members, and also you as a business owner having confidence in the decisions that you're making day in and day out. So this is not like a simple thing like snap our fingers and make over $100,000, right? Like all of the pieces need to be in place for you to have that strong foundation for you to then grow on. But I do see data points that say once you hit that $100,000 in revenue mark, things do get a little easier. They get a little more optimized. So I tell you that to say, be strategic in how you're driving revenue, focus on the best performing sales channels that are already working for you, do more of those, and allocate your resources to where you have growth opportunities. So what can we lean into further? Where can we gather more money pretty easily? What's the low-hanging fruit that we can capture? Okay. The second thing is that net profit grows slower than gross revenue. Over 52% of participants reported less than $25,000 in net profit for the business. So this is all their revenue minus all their expenses, and they were left with about $25,000. Now, profit is the number that matters most. Focus not just on what your revenue growth is or how much you're bringing in, but also focus on raising your profit margins. Focus on reducing and tightening your operational expenses. That is what's going to strengthen your overall profit. It is particularly important, I mentioned this earlier, it's particularly important to pay attention to your numbers this year, your pricing, your costs, your margins, and we want to be prepared to make adjustments as required. If we're seeing that our costs are rising, then it's a good sign that we need to be raising our prices to keep our margins where they are. Again, that profit number is the one that is driving growth in the business. I do have a podcast episode. It's in the report that talks about increasing your profit margins and some strategies to do so. So definitely check that out if this is an area you're working on. Third, most founders are underpaying themselves. So we saw that 65% of participants are paying themselves less than $25,000 a year or nothing at all. This is a tough one, and I totally get it. I didn't pay myself from the business for a couple of years because I was reinvesting profits back into the business and back into the brand. I also, though, I full transparency, I had a corporate salary to lean on. I will also mention, too, that there's, you know, the economy right now is unpredictable. So there's lots of factors at play here. So here's a couple ways that you can start pulling home a paycheck if you're not already, or you can increase what you're taking home. So whether you start by taking a small percentage of your monthly sales or a flat monthly stipend, it is super important that you get in the habit of paying yourself every single month. I do have a podcast that shares how you can start paying yourself. So definitely check the report at proofyourproduct.com/2025survey, and you can find that link there. Also, I want to encourage you to consider setting personal salary goals that align with the revenue milestones you have in your business, because that's going to drive all of your business planning and strategy that you're doing. When you know what you need on a personal level to earn on a monthly basis, and you know what the business needs to earn on a monthly basis, you can put those two numbers together, and that's your revenue goal, because you know if you hit that revenue, the business is taken care of and you're taken care of. And when you have those concrete goals, when you know what you're working towards, you will hit that number faster. Okay, my fourth observation is that full financial independence is rare. Only 25% of participants are relying solely on their business as the primary source of income. Now look, everyone's personal circumstances are different, so do what is best for you. There's no shame in taking an outside job or finding outside income sources to make sure that you and, you know, any of your loved ones are taken care of. I had overlap with my corporate job for 4 years. Now, within the business, what I want you to do to focus on building revenue and building profits so that you can pay yourself more is building the strong foundations like we've talked about. Focus on growing your profit, making sure those profit margins are strong, and just be careful to not overextend yourself. We are seeing a lot of folks who are working in multiple sales channels and multiple marketing methods, and we don't want to overextend yourself there. So just be mindful of that. Okay, number five, wholesale is important for sustainable growth. We saw this in the survey data. Businesses earning $100,000 annually in gross revenue, they reported that wholesale sales, particularly online wholesale on Faire and Shopify, those were the primary revenue driver for their business. Now, I don't want you jumping blindly into wholesale. I did that. It was not wise. I don't recommend it. And if you need support, we've got lots of resources, including our Paper Camp program. But expanding into wholesale and B2B sales is an opportunity to create higher average order values, steadier cash flow for the business. It's an area that I think expansion is strong and it's smart. Now, most participants at the higher income levels are successfully diversifying within wholesale. So they're selling online, they're selling at in-person trade shows, they're using sales teams like sales reps or in-house salespeople, and they're doing direct outreach themselves. So again, be careful to avoid adding too many things we want to add in strategically, but also be proactive if you want to pursue wholesale. Okay, number six, years in business matter dramatically. We saw some trends with businesses that were 6+ years experience. They had higher revenue, they had higher net profit, they were paying themselves a pretty good salary. Now, while we cannot speed up the clock, right, it is important to note here that consistently showing up matters. Success is built day by day and decision by decision. We know that overnight successes aren't reality. So do keep plugging away, being proactive, and tell people how they can buy your products. I know that you probably feel like you're talking about your products too much sometimes, but I promise you, you are not. Keep showing up, telling people what you sell, and telling them how to buy. Okay, number seven, hiring speeds up growth. 47% of participants are running their businesses alone without any support from contractors or employee. This number dropped pretty significantly from last year by 15%, meaning the brands this year are expressing they have more support, which is fantastic. Hiring contractors is a great bridge between like solo founders and then hiring a full-fledged team. So contractors are a great way to get started. You can start with flexible part-time support, even just a few hours a week helps. Then as your revenue levels grow, as your confidence confidence as a business owner and manager grows, you can consider shifting to hiring more core employees for your business. And that's what we're seeing in the survey data. Brands earning over $100,000 a year in revenue are utilizing both contractors and employees, and they're doing that in a strategic way to grow and hit revenue goals faster. Okay, number 8, education, community, and mentorship accelerate success. This was a trend that came through time and time again. And I have some interesting facts about our PaperCamp and Labs alumni. They surpassed non-alumni in the survey in many areas. So for example, in revenue, Proof to Product alumni averaged $100,000 to $200,000 a year, whereas non-alumni were averaging under $25,000 in annual gross revenue. When we looked at profit margins, our Proof to Product alumni were averaging 40 to 60% profit margins, whereas non-alumni were averaging 30 to 40% profit margins. Also, when we looked at whether somebody's working full-time in their business, our Proof to Product alumni, 79% of them are working full-time in their business, whereas non-alumni were at 65%. Now, people that were Proof to Product alumni were consistently ranking ahead of non-alumni. They were earning more. They were staying in business longer. They were maintaining higher profit margins, and they were committing to their business full time. And I share this just as an example of how community and mentorship can really lend itself to growth. So I want you to find a community of like-minded business owners who are working towards similar goals. You're welcome to join us in our Labs program or a PaperCamp program, but find a community that's suited for you and what you need. It will positively impact your business relationships, and you will reach your goals faster. Quick little note here from one of our alumni. They said, "I feel more confident in my business systems and clarity in direction compared to last year. I attribute that to PaperCamp, the Proof to Product podcast, and Labs. Thank you." And this is a business that is in the mid $100,000 range of revenue and 6 to 10 years in business. Okay, number 9, we need to reduce our reliance on third-party platforms. There seems to be a trend in the data that says there's an overdependence on third-party sales and marketing platforms. So we're talking Etsy and Fair and Instagram, and these particularly showed up with newer businesses. Survey respondents expressed just a heavy reliance on them for not just sales, but also brand visibility, customer communication, and then sales, which I think puts people in a vulnerable position. If Etsy or Fair or Instagram were to shut down tomorrow, or maybe they were to cut you off and remove access, what would happen to your business? So building out your own online shop or building out your own email list, these are critical. These are not optional business tools. These are must-have tools for your business toolbox. This is something that every brand needs to have in 2025. Your email list is an asset that you control. An email, as I mentioned earlier, consistently converts to sales much better than social media or any other marketing channel. With online wholesale and retail ranked as the most profitable revenue streams, it's important that you have a seamless experience for your customers to not only purchase from you, but also something that you can control. You're not working within the confines of these third-party platforms. So brands without websites and or brands who are not sending emails out, they are leaving money on the table and they are missing out on sales. I do not want that to be you. So if you do not have a website or you are not working on your email, I strongly suggest you make that a priority. Okay, and 10th, participants are cautiously hopeful, but we're tired. Everyone seems very tired. Many respondents, especially in the 1 to 5 year range or earning $100,000 a year in revenue, they reported feeling burnt out, overwhelmed. They said emotional fatigue. But they're also quoting those feelings alongside of mentioning that they're hopeful for future growth. Now, a noticeable theme in the open-ended questions where we asked about struggles and things was that people are worried about tariffs, they're worried about supply chain issues, political instability, and they're just generally trying to do too much. So while hope and resilience are strong amongst fatigue and uncertainty, folks are still very hopeful for the future. It was also noted that external stresses like the economy, political fears like that are weighing on people with regards to day-to-day decision-making. And so that's making it harder for people to show up every day and be the leader in their company that they want to be. Also, there was interesting comments where they were talking about personal pressures that they're putting on themselves, their own ambitions, their own drive, and how that's kind of conflicting with the real life hurdles that they're up against, whether they're personal hurdles or professional hurdles, or even just like we were talking about economy and political things that are going on. Some of that we control and some of it we don't control, but people were commenting that they have this great personal drive and ambition, but they're struggling because they're up against these challenges that they don't control, like the tariffs. So just a gentle reminder to everyone to please do prioritize your mental, physical, and emotional health. And also, I didn't make this its own bullet point, but slow, steady growth is proven to be the most sustainable path forward. So give yourself the space to do what you need to do on the timeline that it takes to do it. Don't try to rush things. Don't try to force things. Do things in a way that feel good to you, because that is what's going to be most sustainable. All right, friends, to sum it up, the product industry really does reward consistency, strategic scaling, and smart financial management. There are not overnight successes in this industry, so nobody should expect that. But that path to profitability is there. It may feel long and challenging, but those strong foundations that we've talked about a few different times are really the key. We want to layer in strong operational tactics, smart pricing of our product. We want strategic sales channels that are really providing the best return. And we want to think about the long game when making decisions in your business. Finally, as I close this out, I want to remind you that there are a million ways to grow a product-based business. And this survey is a really good reminder that what works for one brand may not work for another. Every one of you listening to this podcast is working towards different goals with a different timeline, a different budget, and different constraints in your life. Your path may look completely different to what's described here in this report. And that is totally okay. I want you to do what works for you, always. If you'd like to receive further updates and analysis as we have them, make sure you're on our email list or make sure you're a member in our labs community. You can learn more about that at proof2product.com/labs. Also, if you share this report or any of the statistics within this report, please do credit us at proof2product as your source. You can share the link of proof2product.com/2025 survey for anyone that wants to get their hands on this survey. We do want these survey results to help as many product brands as possible, but please do credit us as appropriate when sharing. If anyone's interested in talking to me for your podcast or an interview for your community, you can reach my publicist, Brittany Lynn, at brittany@proof2product.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Thank you to everyone again that contributed to this survey. A lot of time, blood, sweat, and tears went into producing this report, and I hope that you will find it beneficial. I hope you will really lean into the opportunities that are there. There's a lot of great things ahead of us. I know things feel really hard right now, and some of you are struggling in different ways, but also some of you are thriving, and that's what we need to hold on to. Hold on to the good things. Keep pushing forward, keep showing up, and remember that you're on your own path to success. So just keep trucking along that path. Thanks so much, everybody. Talk to you soon. All right, friend. Thanks so much for tuning in today and listening until the end. I hope that you found the 2025 State of the Product Industry survey helpful, especially as you're making future decisions for your business. Now, we will be discussing this survey inside of our labs program. Our upcoming coaching call will be an opportunity for folks to ask clarifying questions and for all of us to discuss next steps. If you need help implementing those steps, I will be there to help do that too. So you can join us by going to proof2product.com/labs. That's proof2product.com/labs. Also, if you found today's episode helpful, please do share it out. I want to get more eyes on this survey because I think the more that we're sharing, the stronger our industry will become. And I would be grateful if you could also leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. Your reviews do help us gain visibility for the show, which allows us to bring in lots of cool guests and people that can support you as you grow your business. You can leave that rating and review at ratethispodcast.com/PTP. ratethispodcast.com/PTP. All right. Thanks so much. I'll be back soon with a new episode.